Greetings, friends. I would like to come and talk to you about a new book that I've just written. The title of the book is Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships. And actually, it's a study in the book of Philemon where we see that there was a breach in a relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. And Paul writes this letter to get these brothers to reconcile. And so as we look around our world today, we see that there are many broken relationships. And maybe you are in a broken relationship. It may have been a bitter divorce. Maybe it's friends that are not speaking to one another anymore. Maybe it's even siblings that have a breach between them. Well, this book addresses that very topic. It tells you how to rebuild the fences of broken relationships. In this book, we talk about various fences. One fence that we talk about is the fence of trust, that trust must be rebuilt. Another fence that we talk about is the fence of forgiveness, reconciliation, unity, and responsibility. So those are fences that need to be rebuilt if the relationship is going to be reconciled. Also, part two of the book actually deals with, once you have repaired the fences of a broken relationship, how do you maintain the relationship? Or even if you're in a good relationship right now, what are some things that you can do to maintain a healthy relationship? In this, we talk about the value of brokenness, how to demonstrate loyalty, how to serve one another in relationships. And then one key thing to maintaining a healthy relationship is understanding. And so we talk about understanding in relationships. So you can obtain a copy by listening to the end of the broadcast, and they can tell you how to get in contact with us here at Anchored in Jesus to request your copy of my new book, Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Maintaining Healthy Relationships from our series, Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships. So here's Dr. Glaze with the conclusion of Maintaining Healthy Relationships.
We have moved away from this ability to wash another person's feet, to serve. And if Jesus Christ could humble himself, who was God of very God, who in the beginning was with God, who in the beginning was face to face with God, who in the beginning was God, if he can take on the shape and form of a man, humble himself, and sit down and wash the disciples' feet, how much more should we wash the feet of those around us? We've lost that. We've lost that art. Again, I'm not necessarily talking about getting a literal bowl of water and soap and a rag and washing somebody's feet. I mean, I was at a service where I had to preach for the licensing of a minister. And when I got finished preaching, they called the minister down front. They made him take off his shoes, and they served him. They washed his feet. Amen. They got a basin of water, soap, and a rag, washed his feet. You know? So again, I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm just talking about that attitude of foot washing. Because, see, look, this is what happens. That whenever I build up and whenever I serve, when it comes time for me to have to, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, the next C is confront. That when it comes time for me to confront, then what have I done? See, this is what I've done. Let me see here. All right. Okay. This is the bank right here, right? This is the bank, the healthy relationship bank. So when I build you up, I make a deposit. When I serve you, I make a deposit. So now it comes an issue between us, right? Then I can go and I can draw on that because I've made deposits. See, the problem is that we got too many people, when the relationship gets bad, that they're trying to make withdrawal. Oh, hallelujah. You trying to make a withdrawal and there's nothing in there. And that's why you got problems. I praise God for my wife. Every day, my wife prays for me. Every day, my wife prays for me. And that's so meaningful to me. And I appreciate that so much. It's just very meaningful. And you know, as you make those kind of deposits where you are serving another person, where you are building another person up, when it comes time to make a withdrawal, there's something there. So you got to nourish. See, wives, husbands, you want to jump on your wife. You want to jump on your husband because of what they're not doing, and you haven't made any deposits into the bank. Now, some folk are making deposits, and this is another sermon altogether, that some people are making deposits, and they're just depositing it into Bernie Madoff account. He's just taking your money, right? She's just taking your money. Let that one alone. I haven't developed that message, so I better let that alone. All right, I'm going to let that one alone. But there are some bad investments, all right? Why did I go down that road? Why did I go down there? So you, in order for grace and peace to rest on your relationship, you've got to nourish the relationship. The next N is, and this for lack of a better N word, only thing I could find was narcissism, but I didn't want narcissism to be the only word, so I said, you've got to nullify narcissism. And what do I mean by that? Nothing will kill a relationship quicker than pride and ego. That will kill, you know, when your relationship becomes all about you, when it's all about you, your problems, your thoughts, your feelings, when it's all about, that nothing will kill a relationship quicker than that. And so, yeah, we need to be concerned about our feelings. We need to be concerned, that no doubt about that. But when it's all about you, you know, I like that poem. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. It was very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. It was also I that ate the pie, now passed the cake to me. See, I mean, that's, you know, some people, man, you get around, it's all about them. You know, it's not about anything else. It's just all about them. And so you've got to kill narcissism. You with that love of self. Now, again, we need to have a positive self-esteem. And there's no question about it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this egotistic, narcissistic occupation we have with ourselves. That if that's in your relationship with anybody, husband, wife, friend, co-worker, whatever, it's not going to be long. You know, people not going to want to be around you very long if all you talk about is you. Yeah. And, you know, you're not going to have very many friends. You're going to wonder why your friends are becoming few, because all you want to do is talk about yourself. And so we have to learn how to put aside our pride, and we have to learn how to put aside our ego, because as we do that, then we can function in a healthy manner in relationships. You know, there was a wealthy businessman who was traveling around the world, and he came to this one village where a nurse was cleaning the wounds of this elderly man. And the businessman said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And the nurse kept on cleaning and said, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. See the attitudes there? Pride, ego, kept him from humbling himself and serving. And that will keep us. You know, when we want to protect our own territory, when we want to protect our own turf, and it becomes a prideful thing, then we have a hard time being able to see other things. And the most difficult thing is being able to see where we're wrong. Somebody said, and I know I'm not quoting this correctly, but I'm going to get it close. There is none so blind as he who will not see. My, my, my. There is none so blind as he who will not see. And so we have to nullify narcissism if we are going to maintain healthy relationships. The E is for esteem. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. This word esteem, very interesting. It means to give serious contemplation. And not only, don't stop there, it means to give serious contemplation with a bend towards giving it value and worth. So that if somebody was to put a diamond in my hand and I was to look at that diamond and stare at that diamond, and then eventually what thought is going to come in my mind as I look at that diamond? How much is it worth? Right? That's how much is it worth? That word esteem means to look at those around you . Look at them. Give serious contemplation to the people around you. And then evaluate how much they're worth. How valuable are they to you? Paul says, esteem others better than yourself. Give that worth to others. I was watching a preacher this morning and before I left the house, and they were talking about the people in their family. And they said that they were having this issue, struggling with, you know, some issues about their family. And the Lord directed them to sit down and identify every immediate family member, husband, wife, sons and daughters, and then just write one thing about each one of their value in your life. You know, I have to admit that I fall sometime into the category of being kind of critical. But that challenged me to say, look at each one of my children and to write down what value they have in my life. Yeah, I might be their dad. Yeah, I might have taken care of them for, you know, the 18 years of their life. But at this point, what value? And I began to think about that. And I thought about each one of my kids. And I thought about the value that each one of my children has in my life. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying esteem. Give value to the people in your life. Consider what their worth is to you. Because I, no doubt, many of us have already considered the devalue that many people are to us. But have we considered the value? That when we connect with people and esteem them, then we can allow, watch this, grace and peace to rest on the relationship. Esteem. C, confrontation. And I'll say this. I'll lead out by saying this. One reason that we don't confront is because oftentimes we have not made deposits. And it's hard to confront when you haven't made deposits. It's hard to go to somebody just point blank and confront them, even though you might have every right to do it, if you haven't made those deposits. So when we think about confrontation, let me give you two things to think about. The first thing is that you need to look at yourself. That whenever confrontation is necessary, you need to look at yourself. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, it says this: be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And again, when it comes to letting the sun go down upon your wrath, I will confess, I'm one of the worst ones. You know, sometimes I go to bed angry. I'm just going to be honest. But I'm being disobedient to the scripture, and I know I am. But when we confront, that we have to deal with the issue of our anger. And what we get out of this is that once we identify anger in our own heart, then we need to confront ourselves. And then what I'm taking when it says don't let the sun go down on your wrath, I believe that what he's saying is to straighten that thing out as soon as possible. That if there's anger in your spirit, then you need to deal with it and confront it as soon as possible. And again, I struggle with that. I struggle with that. Sometimes you just want to hold on to your anger. You want to stew in it for a little while. But the scripture says, deal with it as soon as possible. So you deal with your anger as soon as possible, and then you go to the other person. And you don't go to the other person with your chest poked out, with your fist balled up. You know, but praise God, I appreciate your prayers for my wife and I last week. We were coming back on the turnpike, and I was riding down the road, and all of a sudden I heard this bump. And I knew I was looking at the road, and I thought that maybe I hit something. And what happened was this tow truck pulling a truck came and hit the side of my car. And, you know, we went off, and I pulled off the side of the road real quick, and he got pulled up. And now, I'm going to be honest with you, right? I wasn't in church last Sunday. So I'm gonna be honest. Because you know what? The first thing that people do. Now I've had this happen. I was one day, my wife and I, we were coming to a stop sign, and there was a lady stopped in front of us, and she started backing up. And I'm looking like this, and she backed right up into my car. I got out the car, and she said, "Didn't you see me?" I said, "Yeah, I saw you. There's nothing I could do." And so this guy, he jumps out of his truck, right? And he's coming like at a pretty good gait. And so I'm getting out of my car, and the first thing in my mind, okay, man, you get buckle up now. I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Because, you know, I was getting ready, man. You know, now I wasn't going to fight the dude, but, you know, if he hit me, now I just want to stand there, right? And he comes over. Now, again, now look, here's my posture, right? I'm like that. And he comes, and he says, "Man," he said, "I don't know what happened. My truck just started swerving. I don't know if I hit ice or what." He said, "Are you all right?" And guess what? All that went. It's all how you approach somebody, right? You approach somebody with anger, intention, then I guarantee you that they're not going to receive it. You know, the first thing they're going to do, they're going to buckle up. They're going to bristle up. And so we need to understand that when it comes time to confront in this grace and peace on the relationship, that the scripture says, speak the truth in love, and then 1 Peter tells us to do it with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, do it with gentleness and respect. Speak the truth in love and do it with gentleness and respect. And most times when the escalation starts It starts because one person escalated it. And when one person escalates, then the other person, you know, I know very few people that, you know, you can blow steam off on them, and they're just going to sit there and let you blow it off on them. You know, they might take it for a while, but sooner or later, you know, you're going to strike a nerve. And I think that's maybe what some people want. They want to strike that nerve, right? But sooner or later, you're going to strike a nerve, all right? So we can either do it our way or we can do it God's way. You know, God says, speak the truth in love and then do it with gentleness and respect. So confrontation. And then finally, teachability. Teachability. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser, yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Bible says that if we are going to function in a healthy manner in relationships, that we have to have a teachable spirit. That we have to be able to receive when somebody challenges us or confronts us. That the first thing that we want to do, again, is just kind of bristle up and buckle up and get ready for the fight. But we need to be in a constant attitude of teachability. That the scripture says, if you give instruction to a wise man. Now notice it didn't say fool. It said a wise man. Somebody that got a little sense. If you give a wise man instruction, it says what? That he will be wiser. That he's going to receive, that he's going to receive what you say. And if you teach a just man, he will increase in learning. You know, some children growing up, they have what's known as learning disabilities. And in these learning disabilities, if they don't get some help, then they are going to they're going to struggle when they get out in the mainstream of society. Well, you know what? Oh, man. No, he didn't. There are some Christians that have relationship learning disabilities, right? And so they can't function. They can't function in relationships because they got learning disabilities. And what is a learning disability? The learning disability is they're not teachable. You can't tell them anything. They know it all. You know, it's just like back in the 70s, before we got all these computers and stuff, that there was a man who was selling some encyclopedias. And he said, a brand new set of encyclopedias. He said, I bought it for a graduation gift for my son, but he already knows everything. He didn't need it. Already knows everything. And that's the problem, that, you know, we already know everything. And when we already know everything, nobody can tell us anything, even in relationships. You know, husband can't tell his wife anything, wife can't tell her husband anything, you know, parents can't tell children anything. Children can't tell parents. Why? Because they know everything. And so the scripture admonishes us to have a teachable spirit. And that if we will exercise these principles that I shared with you today, connect, then we will find grace and peace. Rest in peace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the first part of a new series titled Personal Discipline. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Maintaining Healthy Relationships, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Maintaining Healthy Relationships. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Maintaining Healthy Relationships. Now, this concludes our series, Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships, which is available upon request. Also, Dr. William R. Glaze's new book, Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships, is available by contacting the Anchored in Jesus radio program at 877-831-5060. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.